Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
If we're going to restart our economy, our cities have to be back in shape. We cannot restart an economy if the great economic engines of this country, our urban areas, are struggling just to keep basic services together, just to keep our hospitals able to support people. If we're on a wartime footing, how are we going to restart the economy?
That is, it wasn't a secret plan that got leaked. I was asked my opinion by some of my general managers who run our large departments. But as Mayor de Blasio said, as I think Mayor Cantrell has said in New Orleans, it's difficult to imagine us getting together in the thousands anytime soon. So I think we should be prepared for that this year.
It probably would be a rolling entry into it, with some states actually doing nothing different because they're still in a really difficult situation, and you would not want to relax any of the physical separation guidelines, and others that would be doing really much better. So it's not going to be a one-size-fits-all.
When is the question? When does the economy kickstart again? When can we go back to relaxing social distancing? Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, thanks for joining us on the show and listening to us beyond our borders as well. You heard from the mayor of New York first talking about restarting the cities and what that's like. Eric Garcetti, the mayor from Los Angeles, no big events until 2021 in L.A., and Dr. Fauci about the kind of not one size fits all, because what people are wanting to know and demanding to know is, when do we get to let our foot off the pedal? How long is this going to take? Because we keep hearing, if we just do social distancing and we stay at home, we'll save lives and we'll crush this thing a lot faster. And the idea that there is a date, that there is absolutely an end, a drop-dead end to this, it is not, because there's so much that we still don't know when it comes to the antibodies and the vaccines, and there is optimism and hope that things will happen sooner rather than later. But people are starting to lose it, like in Michigan. For my friends listening in the great state of Michigan, demonstrators drove thousands of cars, SUVs, Jeeps, you name it, draped with protest signs to the Michigan State Capitol on Wednesday, protesting Governor Gretchen Whitmer's stay-at-home order to fight the pandemic. There were horns honked and there were, cars that just jammed the other streets surrounding where the government is in Lansing. And some of the signs said things like, "Security without liberty is called prison. Recall Whitmer. Liberty once lost is lost forever." And she did say, the governor, in response to that, that she respects the right to protest, but believes many of the protesters put themselves and others at risk of contracting COVID-19. She said she was disappointed to see people congregating and not wearing masks. Wearing masks is a big thing in many, many places. In New York, the order is you have to wear a mask or you'll be fined and pulled off the street, because especially in New York City and some of the boroughs there, because of how high that bar has been on deaths in New York, even though they're sort of hitting that apex, that is what the governor is saying, that you can't let up, you can't stop doing that. And if it helps, then we certainly want to see it. And for the most part, people are abiding by that. They are wearing the face masks. Now, the president is going to issue guidelines about opening up the economy on Thursday. He's going to have a conference call with all 50 governors. We do know the U.S. death toll spiked for the second day in a row. Sick workers are, of course, putting a strain on the meat supply. We saw that in South Dakota with Smithfield and the the pork plant there, 300 people, boom, done. And, you know, we're on a stimulus path, 1,200 per person being transferred into bank accounts, and the Fed's injecting money into the economy with the whole stay-at-home orders thing. The fact that I mentioned about the mask, that's a mandate from New York. They have to be worn when people can't maintain a six-foot distance. That's really what that was about, probably more than anything else. In New York, you've got, when you look at the death toll there, you had the death toll in the U.S. approaching 30,000, right? We have it approaching 30,000 and leaping over that. More than 4,500 deaths happening the day before Tuesday. So, you know, we start to add that all up. And in New York, there are well over 12,000. That's what they're nearing there plus. So the U.S. is fighting a devil. I mean, this is it. I mean, how many have died? Almost 30,000 people in the U.S., and those numbers are being updated as it leaves my lips. The amounts of people recovered, over 52,000. The confirmed cases, 641,919. We know what this can do. We know about the lungs. We know that it's, you feel like you have the flu, a cough, a fever, breathing, all of that. And that's why this social distancing was such a very, very big deal. So let's see what these new rules are going to be and what is that going to look like on Thursday. So we've got the briefings that have been going on. Now we have, you know, the meeting with the governors, and then we've got the social distancing guidelines and the recommendations about the economy and where that will really, really probably open up. The hot spots like New York and Detroit and Louisiana, it's probably much different there, but we'll see what is actually said, what the timeline looks like. Somebody asked me a question the other day about flying, and of course so many jets are now parked out in Arizona, out in the desert, because they have these ghost flights, but people aren't flying. But you also have, from what lingered with people traveling more, 400 TSA officers tested positive for coronavirus. And a third TSA employee died of the virus. And when you think of airports and people that are coming in from all over the place, I don't think it's surprising, because that is a frontline worker to me. Because they're there. They're in hot spots. And the New York area, of course, they have the highest coronavirus cases among the TSA officers, with 155 testing positive. And in Atlanta, they've got 12 of them. Then you've got, you know, so many of them involved in the screening area. And as I said, they're dealing with people who are going through from all over the place. And especially if you wind the clock back to over a month ago, or even a little bit more than that, they were right there where more people were coming through. On the flip side, we're going to take you to Australia. What's it like in Australia? How about these stories about the animals running wild? We'll talk about it.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around a dollar a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase Nano Colloidal Silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer, can communicate information, and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdy Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
In the middle of a crisis, now is the time to refocus, reimagine, and reinvent your life, not to retreat. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, I focus on overcoming adversity and pursuing my dreams. I had a hard time being patient. Can you relate? I finally realized after interviewing 16,000 people and counting, some of the most accomplished on the planet, that it's the long game. I share their secrets in my book. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. I agree. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com. Coming up a little bit later in the show, we're going to have a conversation with Josie Townsend. That's her pen name. She's an author, and she's written a can't-put-down book, Can't See Around Corners, and she joins us from Australia. So thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, my pleasure, Kai. Thanks for having me.
And you and I had a great conversation. Everyone's going to get to hear that. But I wanted to, because we have listeners all over the world, but certainly all over the United States, too, of course, as well. And we want to know, first of all, where are you in Australia and what's it like during this pandemic dealing with the coronavirus?
I'm in Bathurst, regional Australia, west of Sydney, over the Blue Mountains. We have the coronavirus here, but it's not as bad because we're in a regional area, and pretty much Bathurst has sort of gone into instant lockdown. All the pubs, clubs, cafes, hairdressers, everything's shut, and it's only essential workers with essential travelling that are allowed out and about at the moment.
So is everyone pretty much sticking to that? Because you know how we keep talking about you have to save your fellow humans, that we can't just rely on ourselves, it's other people. Do you feel like in your region there people are really doing that pretty well?
Yeah, in our region, people are taking it seriously, but in Sydney, not so much. They're very complacent, but the police are now out and about and fining everybody $1,000 if they're in a group of people in the street or even in their homes or even in a car. So it's pretty much essential travel. You know, if you don't have to be out, then don't be out because you get fined. $1,000.
Oh, yeah. You were talking about that. You know what we found in other places that's so interesting? In Israel, they're seeing jackals are coming out walking the streets because humans are behind doors and are only coming out for essential reasons. In my neighborhood, so you know, we have, I've seen everything. We've had coyotes. We've had bobcats just walking down the street in the middle of the day, past your door, coming up towards your door. Is anything like that in Australia? Are you having that with the roos or any?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, the kangaroos have sort of moved in, you know, like, yeah, jumping down the street and whatnot, you know, they're thinking it's great, you know.
Right, because they don't have those cars, as many cars to deal with.
No, and no people in the street. So, yeah, they're just venturing out and, yeah, hopping around up and down the you know, paved sidewalks and the roads and everything. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's a sight to behold.
And is the lockdown supposed to continue through April and maybe into May, or what are they telling you in Australia?
Yeah, pretty much 3 to 6 months. And, you know, the scary part about it, I mean, it's scary to think that, you know, we can contract a deadly disease, but another scary part about it is the economy and having all these businesses having to shut their doors and going out of business. So unemployment is really high, and, yeah, there's been a lot of small and large businesses going to receivership.
Wow, I know. So tough. We're seeing that everywhere. All right, so coming up a little bit later, we're going to talk about something that can take your mind off this, is reading the supernatural thriller that Josie Townsend, that's pen name, has written, Can't See Around Corners. So thanks for lending us a little insight into sharing that with us anyway as to what's happening in Australia, and we'll talk to you later in the show.
No worries, Kate. Thank you. And this book will definitely take your listeners or the reader's mind off what's going on in the world, so they can delve into a different realm, if you understand what I mean.
Yeah, that's a good thing. So stay safe.
Yeah, thank you. You too, Kate. Thanks for your time.
It's interesting, and talking, thinking about the animals and the kangaroos just having their way down the street and hopping around Australia. This is happening all over the world. I was looking at Rio de Janeiro and what was going on there. And so what's happened is they have goats everywhere. They have goats that have just, you know, made their way out and down into the, and these are mountain goats. They've overtaken kind of an area of Rio de Janeiro. And it's interesting to, I think, to see that. You have turtles, they say, that are coming out of their shell, but seriously, turtles are being seen in places where they normally, baby turtles, you know, hundreds of baby turtles making their way toward the water along Brazil's northeast coast. That's one of the things that they are seeing there. I'm serious about it. In my neighborhood, I have no idea what's coming next, but it is very common to now see bobcats all over the place. I mean, not like hundreds of them at a time, but as if we're in the zoo somewhere, but one or two. Not uncommon to see that. Definitely not uncommon to see them that walking down the alley right where I live. So because of the fact that you have, you know, the whole traffic thing, the things that normally would impede animals, the animals are not worried because there aren't the humans. And of course, deer, depending on where you've been, deer have gotten more brazen. I'll call them brazen when you see them, that they'll eke their way in. Many places I've been lately, I've seen them in areas where they have heavy deer in Texas. But all over, it's common to see animals roaming around without having to worry about crowds of people. And deer are certainly doing that in areas where they are. Mountain lions have been spotted in some areas of Colorado. So how interesting is that? I mentioned jackals in Israel. They're seeing the jackals come out, and Mother Nature is just going in a different direction because there is that, suddenly, there is that space. And I think it's just one of the wildest, wildest things. Because I mentioned it, I'm going to give you a little more meat to this. When we look at infections around the world, surging past 2 million, a third of the cases, to really hammer that, were reported in the United States because of the amount of people that we've had die. Over 28,000, very close to 30,000 from what I'm told. And the president is going to have his briefing on Thursday about what can reopen and like in the heart of it, in the hot zones, it's like a mash unit. Yeah, throw the kitchen sink at it. Absolutely, because whatever theories are being floated, whatever can possibly happen, especially for people who are in a devastating state where who knows if they can survive it or not. That's the thing. We do have a new number. It is absolutely officially over 30,000. I just got that number. So as you're listening, 30,826 people have died from the coronavirus in the United States. And think about the first case was February 29th, a 58-year-old man near Seattle, the first announced U.S. death. And that's where we're at right now. If we were to look at a map, a lot of, not all of them, but I would say a big chunk of what has happened, the deaths, are certainly in New York, over 14,000, as that has jumped up, 14,064 deaths, to put it in perspective, 71.7 per 100,000 residents. That's what they're looking at there. In Louisiana, deaths 1,103, so significantly lower from New York, 23.7 per 100 people who live there, but that is one of those areas. And everybody talks about Detroit in Michigan, 1,921 deaths. That would be 19.3 per 100,000 people who live there. And in New Jersey, I want to make sure that I say New Jersey because it's pretty high, 3,156 deaths, 35.5 per 100,000 people who live there. And then you have, you know, other areas where in California, 872 deaths, 2.2 per 100,000 residents. People listening to us in Seattle, 562 deaths. Keep fighting the good fight. Stay safe, everybody, and hang with us.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Nearly 28,000 people have died due to COVID-19 in the U.S. as the senator's top Democrat proposed a $30 billion nationwide coronavirus testing program. President Trump said new guidelines to reopening the economy will be announced on Thursday. He also said Abbott Labs developed an antibody test that will determine if someone has had COVID-19 and potentially developed immunity.
The company says these tests could be available to screen up to 20 million people in a matter of weeks.
He was asked about those printed coronavirus stimulus checks that will be going out bearing his signature.
I don't know where they're going, how they're going. I do understand it's not delaying anything, and I'm satisfied with that.
Ohio's Republican Governor Mike DeWine said his state won't open up normally until there's a vaccine. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Pastor Greg, host of the show Generation Radio Show. I like discounts, and I bet you do too. If you're age 50 or older, the Association of Mature American Citizens, AMAC for short, has plenty of discounts available for their members. Airlines, hotels, restaurants, auto insurance, and help with your Medicare plans. What I like most about AMAC is they understand my values and they're fighting for them every day. Unlike the other guys that just talk a good game, AMAC is actually holding to my biblical Christian American constitutional values. It feels good to belong to a true American organization. Why don't you join me by calling them at 855-696-7930. That's 855-696-7930. Again, the number is 855-696-7930. And use the promo code Pastor Greg. That's Pastor Greg. And get your first year on me.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-377-1456. 800-377-1456. That's 800-377-1456. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
Excited on this version of Author's Corner, and you know how much I love books and what a voracious reader I am, and this is why we have Author's Corner. But we're going to one of my favorite places, Australia, and this is the kind of genre that really pulls me in, and it pulls my hubs in too. So both of us are big fans of this, and we're fans of her book now as well too. Bron Downs joins us now. She's written a book called Can't See Around Corners, and it is, okay, ready for this, supernatural thriller is a great way to describe it. And I love the fact that so often when we talk about supernatural thrillers, yes, women are in them, they're female characters, but you got two really powerful, in a sense, female characters here. So I don't want to steal all her thunder down under, so to speak. Let's go to Bron right now. Hey, Bron, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Kate. That's my pleasure, and thank you for having me on your show.
All right, so supernatural thriller. I can think of some plot sort of in my head, but I think your plot was brilliant. And we don't want to give it all away, but you do have female characters. And just give us the gist of what the story is about.
Well, there's two fraternal twins, Annie and Sharon. They are born in opulent wealth. They're the only children of Edna and Warren Cass, and because they're the only daughters, they are the pride and joy of their parents. They've accomplished their studying for their degrees at university, and they eagerly look forward to their once-in-a-lifetime trip to Europe. Once the sisters are abroad, their love for one another is obvious to the bystander, but once they're overseas, malicious feelings dwell profoundly beneath their facade, and deceit and treachery and wickedness develop intensely between them. And with their overprotective parents absent, their relationship advances into the vilest possible nightmare, changing their lives forever.
Ooh, changing their lives forever. I like it. So they're born to wealth, and here you'd think it'd just be an easy path, but yet there's something that goes on between them. So how'd you come up with this story? Is this something that's kind of popped into your head?
Yeah, pretty much. I love supernatural thriller movies. I'm a bit of a movie buff. I just thought of the girls end up in Romania, where in Romania is steeped with folklore, legends and myths. Mm. And this is where the supernatural side of the story comes into it, because with those legends and folklore, they come together with modern society and how these two stylish but sport sisters deal with the dark and mystic phenomenon they encounter while they're overseas.
Yeah, it's wild. And I know that we talked off the air and you mentioned to me this is your second book, but your first book was nothing like this one, right?
Yeah, that's correct. And my pen name is Josie Townsend. So if the listeners wanted to, you know, purchase my books, it's not under my Christian name. I've actually got a pen name, Josie Townsend. So
I was just going to say that, Josie Townsend. So make sure that that's where you go for Can't See Around Corners. You can get it on Amazon. And the first book was something that happened that was real. So there are two different, very different kind of genres.
Yeah, there is. And they usually say that when authors start writing, they usually start writing something that they already know. And then I sort of stepped out of that little safe circle, writing what you know, into something more creative. And I came up with this this story. And once the reader has read the whole book, the question for them to ask themselves is, what is real and what isn't?
Oh, I love that. What is real and what's not? Did you, when you had that story and you came up with the idea, did you find that, did it pour out of you? Was it easy? And I don't want to say easy, but did it just sort of pour out of you when you were writing this?
Yeah, pretty much, Kate. It was, the storyline was very definite, but it was sort of filling in the pages and keeping the story flowing. So as the reader didn't get bored or bogged down in one particular, you know, scene in the book. So it's very flowing, and I've had some really positive feedbacks from friends and family, and also critics stating that, it's an easy book to read. It's, it flows and it keeps you on the edge of your seat.
Do you have a thought of what you hope the readers take away from this?
Just that it was a really great story. I've had people say that while they've been reading it and they've had to put it down and go whatever, but what if they're not reading the book, they're thinking about it. They're thinking about the story, and if they're at work or they're out doing their, you know, chores or whatever, they've said that once they started reading the book, they put it down, but they keep thinking about it, you know, the story.
Well, that's the best compliment.
It remains in your mind.
Yeah, that's the best compliment you could possibly get, that people are ready to get back to the story if they have to go to work or they're doing something else, but they're thinking about it. And again, we want to make sure that you look under the right name. It's Josie Townsend, Can't See Around Corners. And of course, we're talking about the two sisters, supernatural thriller, and it's one of those can't put it down kind of things. And you said you really like supernatural, the supernatural world, and that whole thing. Mm. Is there somebody that's a favorite of yours? Like I like Stephen King. I like a lot of different writers and movies.
Yeah, Stephen King and Steven Spielberg are my favorites. Yeah.
You know, and your book is almost, I mean, this would be the wildest of the wild, but why not dream big? Your book would be suited to a movie, to a script. Did you think of that at all?
Yeah, I have approached, my publishers have approached the movie world people. I don't even know what you call them, but yeah. So I haven't received anything back as yet, but yeah, I mean, like, the book doesn't just go into a holiday and all these, you know, freaky deaky things happen. It's also, there is murder in it. There's also a court scene in it. So there's other characters that come into play in the story. So it's not just about the two girls, but it's about actually what, it's quite in depth what happens to them in Romania and around Transylvania. So Bran Castle, Dracula's castle's involved in it as well. So, yeah, and that's where the supernatural sort of starts to come into play in the story.
Isn't it funny how much the place that you go, it becomes a part of this? And I think of Transylvania, Romania, as one of those kinds of places, and, of course, it's been portrayed that way. So when did that automatically come to you as, ooh, this is the place where they're going to go?
Yeah, well, I did a lot of research on Bran Castle, and a lot of supernatural, stories and films have come from that Dracula kind of image that Bran Castle has, based on Vladimir III, who actually own the castle. And a lot of his trinkets, his rings and his necklaces and that, they all had a curse attached to them. So because he was known as the Prince of Blood.
Yeah.
And that's how Dracula sort of, yeah. So this, the supernatural side of my story comes from Bang Castle, but it's not to do with Dracula as per se. It's not to do with blood or anything like that. It's more a trinket that actually has a curse attached to it, and one of the sisters finds it, and she takes it as her own. And this is where all the supernatural trouble and problems and what happens thereafter is, because she's actually possessed this pendant. And she'd sort of stolen it from the Grand Castle.
Ooh.
And that's where all her troubles start.
Ooh, a stolen pendant. That reminds me of things like, you know, when you go to Hawaii, they say don't pick up a lava rock and take it with you. So what happens is the post office gets a lot of lava sent back to them because people think it brings them bad luck. So don't pick up the trinket in Josie's book, Josie Townsend's Can't See Around Corners, because it might come back to haunt you. So that's brilliant that you thought of that plot. Was it fun working out that plot? That's a great twist.
Yeah, I loved it. And as I said, I could orchestrate what happens to these two girls. I could orchestrate what happens to the other characters. Yeah, it was really, really interesting. I so enjoyed the researching Romania. It really wasn't a place that, you know, you have on your bucket list. Oh, I want to go to England or I want to go to America. Romania is a place that sort of a bit still in the dark and a bit forgotten, still sort of, you know, back in old world time. And just researching that area and that, I just found that so interesting, and the Carpathian Mountains and that, you know, for these two sisters to be, you know, on their adventurous holiday, you know, seeking out all these really old world sort of villages and the folklore that's, you know, steeped in these villages. They really are, even today, still living back in time, you know what I mean? They're kind of, and you can see the time worn into their clothes and stuff, because they're still very peasant-like.
Yeah. Yeah, but the images are so vivid, absolutely, and you certainly paint them in the book Can't See Around Corners, and again, you can get that on Amazon, Josie Townsend. When you were growing up, did you think you were going to be a writer?
No, I didn't. I used to write poems. I had a book of poems. That's how I sort of started writing. But, yeah, I'm a bit of a geek. I like words, and I love the way words have the power to make you feel happy, sad, scared. You know, and if they're put together properly, they can give you all these different emotions.
Boy, isn't that the truth. And certainly I think that's one of the takeaways of your book, that you will feel it. You will feel the emotions of the book, and that's why people can't put it down. It's the perfect time to read a book like this, and when people are looking around for something, look at this book, Can't See Around Corners, and I've said it now several times throughout the interview, you can pick it up easy on Amazon.com or any place where great books are sold. Josie, a.k.a., that's your pen name, Josie Townsend, Ron, thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Not a problem, Kate. Thank you for having me, and I hope you and your listeners stay safe.
Crisis, now is the time to refocus, reimagine, and reinvent your life, not to retreat. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, I focus on overcoming adversity and pursuing my dreams. I had a hard time being patient. Can you relate? I finally realized after interviewing 16,000 people and counting, some of the most accomplished on the planet, that it's the long game. I share their secrets in my book. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. I agree. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea builds the red corpuscles in our blood, which bring oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves, and cancer dies in oxygen. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Houseflies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic, no batteries required, only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product. Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from 6 different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
At this time around in Author's Corner, one of the authors we're going to introduce you to is Richard Hamilton, and he's written a book called Blind Expectations. We had a great off-air conversation. In fact, I could have sat down and had a glass of tea with him and talked all afternoon long. So, Richard, thanks so much for coming on.
Well, thank you for having me. It's an honor to be with you.
Let's talk about Blind Expectations. What drove you to write this book?
Well, I've always enjoyed creative writing. And I just wanted to create an all-around feel-good love story, something that would touch someone's heart, move them emotionally, and hopefully inspire. I just wanted to create something where the reader will cheer on the good guy, root for the underdog, and also I wanted to include an edgier family drama subplot. So, just something I've always wanted to do, and I'm very grateful that I was able to do it.
And congratulations. You did a great job in weaving this tale, and you can find this, by the way, wherever great books are sold, of course, Amazon, on down the line, and it's Blind Expectations, as I mentioned, the novel C.D. Hamilton, so it'll be under C.D. Hamilton if you search that way, author-wise. And you talk about when your main character, Peter Michael Webb, and you talk about the fact that he's got a couple of dreams, and one of them, and this sounds familiar to what you told us, is about being a published author, and then the other is about finding true love. So did you wrap little bits and pieces of your life or people you knew into the novel?
You know, that's an interesting question. I may have just had snippets here and there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, the main character at some point travels to New York City on the train, and that's something that I have done many times. So I've incorporated that action into it. But I have to say, for the most part, I mean, definitely for the majority of the novel, I had to really stretch my imagination and stir those creative juices to create various scenes and characters. And that's part of the fun, though. That's what I enjoy about it, just really delving into my imagination and getting everything down into a cohesive story and hopefully, like I said previously, one that would touch someone's heart.
Yeah, it's interesting too. As you know, that's why I said snippets of it. It's funny you talk about the train, and I grew up in New Jersey, and one of the highlights for me was taking the train to New York. So I can totally relate to that. I can visualize it. You just painted that picture for me, for sure. And you use a lot of great language in this, and you're very skillful in the way you pull this novel together, because that's the idea. And you said it. The idea is the story. And pulling people into the story. Was it fun for you to write this novel?
Very much so. Creative writing is definitely my favorite pastime. And when you were, it's kind of hard to explain, but as a writer, well, you can probably understand, and other writers out there, when you really set your mind to it and you're visualizing the events inside your mind, and it's very exhilarating. And that to me is just some of the best fun that I've ever had, is just exploring the settings and the characters and describing the characters. Okay, what kind of traits does this character have? And so on. And to me, that's just so much fun and something I really enjoy doing.
And that's the whole idea. When you sit down and you write the book, and you know this because, as you said, you've been a creative writer, you've always written your whole life. When you finally, I call it like giving birth to the book, and so many people talk about this, you know, writing a book, and I have a book in my head, and gosh, they never get to it, and you certainly have done that. What was that feeling like when this one got out there, when this one was finished, was done? What did that feel like?
It felt like a great accomplishment. It's like a dream come true, in the sense that, oh, this is something I have always wanted to do, and I finally got it done. And and I have a book on my bookcase, something that I've written, and that's I'm very grateful that I was able to get it done and to set aside enough time that I could really work on it. And it's very rewarding, personally.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, we're speaking with C.D. Hamilton. That's where you'll find the book, author-wise. Blind Expectations is the name of the novel. When people sit down and they read your story, what do you hope they take away from it?
I really hope that they will feel better. They will say to themselves, wow, this made me feel good. This was inspiring. This was something that the characters are, there is such a variety of characters, and the settings that were created. And but I just want them to enjoy that aspect, but more so just enjoy the feel-good aspect of it. Like, I just want them to be moved emotionally. I mean, I can't ask for a better reward than that. If my work touches someone's heart, that's the best reward there is to me.
Yeah, wow. Well said. And this, of course, was your debut novel. Will you write more? Will you write another novel?
I do plan to. I have the first chapter written. But I do have to. I have a lot more to work on it. But it's something that I'm enjoying as well. And this new novel is more of a family drama. Whereas Blind Expectations is probably two-thirds or three-quarters of a love story, and then the remainder is the family drama. Whereas my new novel that I'm currently writing, it's definitely more of a family drama.
All right, there you go. Family drama. People can relate to that. C.D. Hamilton, Blind Expectations. You can pick that up wherever great books are sold. You know, look on Amazon, etc. Thanks so much for joining us and sharing your adventure with us.
Well, thank you for having me. It was a real pleasure to be here and to speak with you. Thank you for everything.
Thank you. All right, I wanted to give you a little sneak on the book, and, you know, we talked about what the story was. So if you look up the book, you'll see this, you know, how you get just a little snippet of it. So picture the main character that he was talking about, Peter Michael Webb, I mentioned his name, has two dreams in life, and I said that, becoming a published author and finding true love. And to his surprise, his great surprise, accomplishing the latter proves to be far more difficult. He attended the prestigious Stephanie Green College in New Jersey's mountainous Northwest, and is quite a contrast for 23-year-old Pete. In fact, it's a blessing, raised by a single parent in a struggling working-class neighborhood. He's grateful to be here. So that kind of sets the scene for you. And then you go on to learn he's a hopeless romantic, very naive. He learns the hard way that love is not the fluff he had pictured in his mind. Oof, we can relate to that, right? And woman after woman shatters his fragile heart and cruelly, but then one woman, his closest friend at the school, does no such thing. So he meets someone, Corinne is her name, and wants nothing more than to piece it back together with her love. Ooh, I like that. Powerful, right? You come out on the other side, then accepts a proposal. I won't give you all the details because, again, this is just supposed to kind of whet your appetite, because I think he has such a gift for writing. And he mentioned, C.D. Hamilton mentioned that he works professionally, right? And editing, and he's done that for a couple of decades, and he certainly has brought that to the page. So what happens to the two dreams? You'll have to find out yourself. Pick up the book, Blind Expectations, C.D. Hamilton. And thanks to all of you for listening to this version of the show.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on, so it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113, drinksupertea.com.
In the middle of a crisis, now's the time to refocus, reimagine, and reinvent your life, not to retreat. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, I focus on overcoming adversity and pursuing my dreams. I had a hard time being patient. Can you relate? I finally realized after interviewing 16,000 people and counting, some of the most accomplished on the planet, that it's the long game. I share their secrets in my book. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. I agree. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.